Hey, we're back. This is 180. My name's Carl Clausen. I'm your host. It's a joy today to take on what we believe and why with my guest in studio. His name is Dr. George Koch, pastor of the Res Church in West Chicago. He's an Anglican with an attitude. That's what he is. He's a recovering hippie, and it's all good. I can say that because he's in studio. If I get online, you can pop me. Good to have you with me, George.
Yeah, you're close enough. I can reach you, Carl, so be careful.
How do you like this Anglican with an attitude thing?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Jack Hayford once said, anytime you have alliteration in an idea, it must be from God.
Well, that's the only heretical thing I've ever heard him say.
Oh, I think that's funny. Might have been tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, either that or Jesse Jackson. Everything he says is inspired, so I don't know. He says some good things. All right, good day today. We're jumping into the covenant of Moses. Last week, we hit the Abrahamic covenant. George, let's jump in the deep end. What in the world is the big difference between the covenant God made with Abraham and the covenant God made with Moses?
Well, first of all, a difference in simplicity. If you look at the covenant with Abraham, God basically said, here I am, I'm going to initiate a relationship with you, a covenant, and I'm going to bless you and give you innumerable descendants. And Abraham said, okay.
And that was it.
I like that covenant a lot better. That was it. And in fact, just as an aside, one might say that faith in Jesus and the salvation that comes from it is just that simple a transaction. Jesus says, trust me. We say, okay, it's done.
Why then who put the goop in the soup that we had to have this Moses covenant that is replete with law after law after law? We know there's a purpose in this.
There is.
What is it?
Well, first of all, let's just set aside for the moment and maybe even for this whole conversation some of the odder requirements of the law. There are 10 commandments and another 603 commandments in the Mosaic covenant, in the Old Testament law, in the Torah. And not all of them are easy to understand or, for that matter, easy to apply. But let's look at the key covenant of the Old Testament of Moses at those laws and see what their purpose was.
Okay.
And the idea is not, and this is the misunderstanding, let me start with that, that these are a set of rigid rules that God is expecting us to follow exactly in order to be approved by him and saved and go to heaven. And therefore, the wonderfulness of the new covenant of Jesus is that we no longer have to do all of that because all of those religious, rigidly implied rules were so hard to obey anyway.
So all the law did, according to Romans, is reveal that we couldn't do it.
That we couldn't do it. But more than that, the law, as God gave it to the Jews, and as Jews understand it to this day, what God said was, if you're going to be my people, let me give you a little guidance about how to get along with each other and in the world.
Right.
The things that are healthy to do and the things that aren't and that you shouldn't do. And if you look at the Ten Commandments, with the exception of one, all of them we Christians today continue to believe are mandatory.
Which one do we not?
The Sabbath.
Well, excuse me. However.
The fourth one.
Whoa, but however. The principle of a Sabbath rest, profoundly powerful.
Profoundly powerful. And in fact, I don't want to go out too far on a limb here, but yeah. I would say that the Christian church has really missed something important by the way in which it has just sort of brushed aside the fourth commandment and really doesn't apply it much anymore.
If all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, correction, training, and righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, what in the world does a mold law value us today? One of the covenantal laws. What in the world do these things, is there value there? There must be. God wouldn't lie.
I can tell you that the way the rabbis interpret this today is that the laws of this whole 613 fall into several major categories. One category is those things which are good for us in conducting our lives in ways which are healthy and helpful and loving and holy. That's one category.
Okay.
Those are still true.
Absolutely.
Still true today.
I love that.
Another category are things which we don't fully understand, ritual requirements, as an example, but God says, do these, and so we are doing them in order to be obedient, and probably he knows better than we do why we should do those things.
Well, here's
that's
the...
That's category two.
Okay, go that's ahead. Category two. Go ahead.
Category two.
Let me speak to that one
sure.
real quick, because isn't it true that the more we dig into things, even scientifically, we find out now that it's true. You shouldn't be blending certain kinds of materials together, as the Old Testament says. So there's some real order and structure even in the law that doesn't make necessarily morality sense, but it makes social stability sense almost.
It does both. Some of them make scientific sense when no one even had an idea what
right.
science was
yeah.
when those commandments were given.
Isn't that cool?
And others of them are really, you're right, about the fabric of a culture and keeping it together so it is intact.
Good. Okay, I cut you off. Keep going.
That's all right. And then there's a third category that the rabbis describe of these 613, and those are the commandments which we don't understand. In other words, it doesn't make any sense to us why we should do these things. And their answer to why they should do them is it is a demonstration of their love for God that they even do the things they don't understand because he asks them to.
And there's a little delayed gratification in a lot of commandments of God, isn't there, George?
Well, I would say that's a big category all by itself.
My guest right now, Dr. George Koch, author of What We Believe and Why. You can get a copy at whatwebelieveandwhy.com. Okay, the covenant with Moses, is, as we think about a Jesus follower driving down the road today, what in the world is some of the biggest takeaways from that?
Well, the biggest takeaway is the covenant with Moses for us is not about salvation. That is, that we don't follow the law in order to get saved. But the covenant of Moses, the law, still for us, is a part of our sanctification. And in fact, that's what James writes about. He says, now Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. The point James makes again and again, and he really drives it home, is that the works, the living out of the law, if you would, is really the fulfilling of our sanctification. It is how we live as God calls us to live. It's not our salvation.
Yeah,
salvation
this is what drove
comes from
Martin
our
Luther
trust
crazy,
in God.
And he called James a right straw epistle because of it.
He did. I know Luther didn't like James at all.
Well, because he was fighting a culture of obligation.
Right. And what James is saying is, if you really are thankful for your salvation, then live out that thankfulness by the way in which you serve others, by your works, not counting on your works to save you, but in thanksgiving for what God has done for you.
Excellent. Dr. George Koch, everyone. It's called What We Believe and Why. Get a copy, whatwebelieveandwhy.com. I tell you what, we're about halfway through this sucker, and now we're getting into the deep weeds, the fun stuff. Enjoy it with us every week at this time. Thanks for being with me, George.
More than welcome.
180.